It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, friend. Thank you for joining me today for Fresh Oil. This week on Fresh Oil, I've been sharing the stories behind my songs. I've been in the gospel music industry for over 40 years now, and I've written over 200 songs. I've recorded over 100 of those on more than a dozen albums. And several years ago, I had a TV program called Fresh Oil. I'm getting ready to start that again. But much to my surprise, every Sunday morning, there were a bunch of inmates at our local county jail that would gather around the television and tune in to watch my program. One Sunday morning, I was greeting our visitors at the door after the service, and when I asked the young man, "Where did you come from?" He said, "The Winnebago County Jail." And he said, "I watched Fresh Oil each Sunday morning with the people in my cell. And I said, when I ever get out of this place, I'm going to go and visit your church." And so anyhow, we went on to become friends. He became a member of my church. And after a couple of years, I was getting ready to perform his wedding ceremony one day. He was in the office with a young lady he had met, and we were doing premarital counseling. And all of a sudden, he said, "It's you." And I'm like, "Yep, it's me." He said, "No, I mean, it's you. You're going to write my song." It kind of took me by surprise because I don't normally take requests, and that's not the way I write songs. I have to have a special anointing that God puts on my heart. And he said, "Pastor, you're going to write my song." And then he went on to make this statement. He said, "The most powerful two words any convict can ever hear is this: case dismissed." I thanked him for giving me the song idea, but assured him if God gave me a song, I would certainly write it down. I really doubted that anything would come from it, but for some reason, as they left my office that day, I went to the piano. I brought a notepad and a pen, and all of a sudden, the words started flowing. I was guilty, with no doubt in my mind. I was going down for the very last time. Standing all alone, to be judged for my crime, I heard someone say, "Wait, his sins are all mine." Case dismissed.
I was guilty, with no doubt in my mind. I was going down fast for the very last time. Standing all alone to be judged for my crime, I heard someone say, "Wait, his sins are all mine." Case dismissed for lack of evidence. Jesus paid for my crime. He was just in time. Case dismissed. Then he let me go free. All the guilt and the shame took from me, and I will never be the same since I heard him say, "Case dismissed." Freedom, like a bird, I found wings. Now I soar above everything. And I could never pay this debt that I owe. Jesus took my sin, and it was so long ago. Case dismissed for lack of evidence. Jesus paid for my crime. He was just in time. Case dismissed. Then he let me go free. All the guilt and the shame he took from me. And I will never be the same since I heard him say, "Case dismissed." Then the judge of the ages, oh, he turned through the pages. But when he came to my name, I heard him say, "Case dismissed." of evidence. My Jesus paid for my crime, and he was just in time. Case dismissed. Then he let me go free. All the guilt and the shame he took from me, and I will never be the same since I heard him say. No, I'll never be the same since I heard him say.
That takes me back a while. Case dismissed. Song the Lord gave me.
Case dismissed.
You know, one day I was singing my song Case Dismissed at a conference in San Diego, California. And at the end of the service, someone approached me and he said, "Keith, I have a prison ministry and I visit inmates every week. And this song would really be a blessing if I could make copies and give it out to them." I gave them permission to copy the song and to give it out to the prisoners. And you know, one day I received a package in the mail, and when I opened it, I was so blessed. There was a beautiful drawing of Christ on the cross. About 15 inmates had written their personal response to my song and their testimony of how it impacted them and gave them hope that one day they would be free. And then they would write their name and their prisoner number. It hangs in my office this very day, and I treasure it more than a Grammy Award or any other accolade that I could ever achieve, because my song touched a person. Now, I want to share with you some scriptural context to this song. The Bible teaches us that we are all guilty of sin and deserve the death penalty. But Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And then he tells us in Romans 6:23, he says that our sin was a capital crime. He says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." You see, I was guilty with no doubt in my mind. I was going down for the very last time, standing all alone to be judged for my crime. I heard someone say, "Wait, his sins are all mine." See, 1 Peter 2:24 says, "He himself," Jesus, "bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you've been healed." Friend, Jesus became the very thing that held us captive. Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. He said, "God made him who knew no sin," that's Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God, "God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." What a great exchange. He took my sin, I took his righteousness. Now, in the course of the song, I penned these words: "Case dismissed for lack of evidence. Jesus paid for my crime. He was just in time." You know, one of my favorite passages of scripture that I teach is the second chapter of the book of Colossians. It literally was life-changing for me to understand this passage, and I believe it'll touch you as well. Verse 13 begins by saying this: "When you were dead in your sins," you were in that prison called sin, "and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature," get this, "God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code," case dismissed, "with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." See, I love that verse. It tells me, God, when I was dead, when I couldn't even do anything, I was dead spiritually. I was in a morgue of sin. And when I was dead, God made me alive with Christ. So many people live their life today hoping that one day they'll be good enough to impress God. Friend, you're never going to be good enough. You're never going to impress God with your own righteousness. The Bible says it's as filthy rags in God's sight. But in your dead sins, God made you alive with Christ. And how did he do it? He forgave us all our sins. See, friend, I don't believe sin is the obstacle between God and man today. I believe Jesus forgave all of our sins. You know what the obstacle is? It's Jesus. You can't get to God any other way. You must go through Jesus. He died for your sin. He paid the price. But the only way to be forgiven of it is to come through Jesus. You can't go around him. You can't go over him. You can't get to God through any other way than coming through Christ. Jesus canceled the written code that was against us and stood opposed to us, taking it away, nailing it to the cross. Sometimes when I preach this, I title the message, "A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Cross, the Law Got Nailed." You see, the law wasn't just the Ten Commandments. The law was a system of relating to God based on your performance. How many were there? 613 in the Old Testament Torah. All those laws, how good did you have to keep them? Jesus said this, "Be ye perfect, therefore, even as your heavenly Father is perfect." So how many did you have to keep? All 613. My friend, I'm so thankful for grace, this new covenant, where Jesus himself lived a perfect, spotless life so that God could relate to me based on what Christ did and not upon my own performance. And what did he do? He nailed that law to the cross. See, the law was the only thing Satan could accuse us with. He could come and say, "Look, you failed. You've sinned. You broke one of these 613 laws." But what did Jesus do? He nailed it to the cross. See, then the Bible says, having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Friend, I believe there's no good deed that can get you in heaven, not a bad deed that can get you in hell. Heaven and hell will be determined based on what have you done with Jesus Christ. If you receive him as your personal Savior, you have granted entrance into heaven and you have eternal life. And friend, if you reject Jesus, then there is no eternal life. You have eternal damnation because you missed and you trampled over the one thing, the one sin God cannot forgive is rejecting his gift of grace. You see, case dismissed for lack of evidence. He nailed the law to the cross. It's gone. The Bible says this about our sin. He cast it as far as the east is from the west. I'm glad he didn't say the north from the south, because if you keep traveling north, you'll eventually reach the South Pole as you go around. But if you go east and west, they never meet. You just keep traveling. And friend, God took my sin away, and he forgave me, and he gave me a clean slate so that I can relate to him by what Jesus did on the cross. Maybe you're listening today and you've never committed your life to Jesus Christ. Maybe you've been religious, but you've not been righteous. You've never felt that clean slate like those prisoners wrote about my song when they signed that drawing that they gave me. Friend, I want you to know today, all you got to do is say, "Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe God raised you from the dead after 3 days and three nights, and I believe that you rose again from the dead. You paid for my sins. I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you to forgive me, and I want to live for you." That's all you got to do, friend. Reach out to God today. He's as close as the air you breathe, and he wants to save you. He wants to help you. If you're struggling today with condemnation, Romans chapter 8 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set us free from that law of sin and death." He nailed it to the cross, friend. He loves you, he really does, and your case is dismissed.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and he He makes His mercies new every morning.